Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Good, Kevin.
Drake Fellows, man, he was terrific last night. Took that shutout into the eighth inning. How much was that a lesson in, you know, keeping the ball down, throwing strikes, and just letting your fielders go to work for you?
Well, it was. I mean, that's a very experienced hitting team, and they've done a lot of damage. When we saw them in Houston, I thought they were Omaha team, and I still think they are a lot of different ways. So in order to navigate those bats, he really had to throw the ball downhill. He had to cross count their hitters a lot, throwing breaking pitches and fastball counts. So he really did a nice job.
Yeah, that kind of leads into something else I want to ask you about. You know, how was he able to have success throwing the breaking stuff early in the count, you know, to some of those powerful hitters in that lineup?
Well, he's got to land it. If he doesn't land it, then it becomes a non-negotiable pitch, and they just spit on it. And I think in order to have any type of success, you got to let the hitter know that I can throw this pitch, but, you know, I can land it for a strike. And then at that point, then they have to respect it. And then when they start respecting the breaking ball, then you land a changeup, they got to respect that. And if you're throwing a fastball like Drake does, which, you know, from a velocity standpoint, it's pretty good, 91, 92, but it hits ice at the end of it. You know, it's got some life to it. So, you know, you start commanding three pitches, it becomes very difficult for the hitter, and that's what he did.
We've talked about these freshmen all season. What do you like about the way Phillip Clark's swinging the bat? He just keeps bringing on those doubles game after game.
Yeah, he had some big hits. I mean, he's a mature hitter. We sent him to a college league this summer. He went up to Martha's Vineyard, which is not a bad place to spend the summer, by the way. And he went up there and tore it up and played very well, was the number one prospect in a college league. So we felt like he was going to be a pretty good hitter, and he's done that. He had a great night last night, as did Marty. Martin gets on base. DeMarco hit a home run. So, you know, those young kids, they played beyond their years during the course of the year, and a lot of times they've carried us.
Well, Coach, it seems like you guys are starting to get into a rhythm here these, I guess, you know, last games or so. How do you feel going into the end of the season and then going into the tournament?
Well, I mean, we're improving. I mean, the trajectory of the team, and, you know, I mean, you feel that way because of the outcomes, but, right. You know, I see that at different points towards, you know, May and beginning of May. And, you know, I've always said, and even talking to you guys, I've always said that these guys stay the same In the days in between the games. I mean, the training sessions are really good, and they're on point. And, you know, I think sometimes they don't believe me, and I say, let's just take care of that. If you take care of that, the outcomes will come. But then when they don't come, they probably look at me sideways and go, seriously? You know, is this going to happen? And, you know, yeah, it will happen, but we're also in a tough conference. We're playing in a pretty tough neighborhood. So, you know, it's gotten a little bit better over the course of time, and hopefully we'll just keep moving in that direction.
Well, Coach, the reason why they look at you sideways is because you're off Twitter now. You know, that means a lot to those kids. Tell us what went behind your decision not to be on Twitter anymore, I guess, at least take a break.
Well, it's not so much I participate a lot. I read, but I found myself just going off in tangents and reading about, you know, this has to happen in order for this to happen. I said, you know, screw that. I'm not gonna read that stuff anymore. I mean, it's driving me crazy. I just got to focus in on the team. So, I just, that's what I've done. I mean, life's easy. If I had my brothers, I'd take my phone and I'd punt it, but, I can't. I need it for business, I guess. But if I could just concentrate on the kids, which I'm doing and the staff's doing, then, you know, we got a chance to really focus in on what's important. It's them more than anything.
Well, on a side note, Mike's live passing. What were your interaction? I guess I'm making an assumption you guys had some interaction at some point in time.
I loved him. I loved him. I just thought he was a man's man. I just respected him so much. He's got some New Hampshire ties, so we kind of hit it off that way when I first got into the league. But I thought so much of him. You know what turned my head a little bit was when he was in a meeting, and we had some foot. It was one of those new meetings that you have to have when you start coaching. There were some new football coaches and basketball coaches. And one of those guys was screwing around with their phone, and he stopped the meeting and he pointed that guy out. And at that point right there, I said, I loved it because he just commands respect because he respects the people in front of him. And it doesn't matter who you are. But I just love the way he communicated. He was a firm man. He was a pioneer. He got the network going. But, you know, from a humanistic standpoint, I just love the guy. He was tough and caring at the same time and such a good leader of our conference. And I think, you know, Greg Sankey, his assistant coach for a long period of time, is now taken over. And I think Greg has some qualities that are very unique to him, but very similar to Mike. But I can't say enough about Mike. I just love that guy. That was just sad.
And Tim, you know, when it came to baseball, when Slive took the job as SEC commissioner, the conference was paying to get their baseball games televised. And now look at SEC baseball and what he has helped to elevate it to.
Yeah, I mean, that in itself, the couple of things, Mark, is the network itself, and I really think this tournament, because you look at a lot of the conference tournaments and they flip around, they go from spot to spot to spot. And what we've always done, and this has something to do with Mike too, is we just kept it in Hoover. We've kept it as a home base. So it's almost become a destination for SEC baseball fans that they know where it's going to be. That's where they're going to go. And they're all going to meet at the end of the season. So I think he's made our sport relevant inside the conference. And because he's made it so relevant and powerful inside the conference, it's benefited the country and college baseball in the country. So it's had widespread effects.
How crazy was that 14-run inning in the third against Middle Tennessee earlier this week?
Yeah, that's nuts. I've never seen anything like that before. I've never been anything part about, you know, Stephen Scott hit a home run, came up again, hit a double. I've never seen guys come up twice, you know, through an order before like that. And it's just an anomaly. It just doesn't happen. But I saw some of the goofiest stuff I've ever seen in a game in nine innings there. It was 4 hours long. I felt like I could have done my laundry several times and come back, and we still would have been in the third. But we, you know, we got through it. That was good for us. That was good for Vanderbilt. We needed that. But that was a crazy game, man.
I was looking down at you in the third base coaching box. I was like, I wonder if Corbs is getting tired of standing up down there. You had to have been down there for like almost an hour, or at least 45 minutes, I would think.
That was good. I was looking at my Fitbit. I got a lot of steps that night. It was a good thing from a calorie standpoint.
How challenging is this whole stretch here? You play a midweek game, then a Thursday through Saturday, then on the Hoover for the tournament. I know you don't really know yet which day you're going to play next week, but man, you know, for these guys, they probably love it, but it's a lot of games in a short amount of time.
It is. I mean, they're going to expand the roster to 30, which you need, because if you lose that game and come back and win it, you can play five games. I mean, it's just a ton of games, ton of innings, which is good and bad, because if you need the games, like probably Vanderbilt does, then it would serve us well to stay in there and win. If you don't, then no coach would tell you this, but sometimes getting out of there is the best thing for your team, i.e. 2014. So, you know, sometimes getting out of there and resting your kids and guys who have dinged up injuries that week will really serve them. It's kind of like, Blaine can speak to this, but it's like the NFL. You know, you just get that week off and, you know, you rest, and then in a wild card situation, then after you get to play. So I don't know. It's fun, though. I love that tournament. Always have. It really kind of put us on the map a little bit, because it really got us going for a long period of time.
Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin. They play Kentucky again tonight at 6:30. Thanks for the time. Good luck tonight.
I always appreciate you guys. Thank you.